In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Amongst many instances in the Holy Scriptures where answers are given to prayers and we see the power of prayer, one is in Acts chapter 12, which we've been reading as a series. Now we know it begins with the beheading of John and then Saint Peter, Simon the Rock, being thrown in a dungeon in the prison. And we read and we discussed that the church continued in earnest prayer. And when we were discussing prayer, we mentioned that we're going to now see the fruit of that prayer and the outcome of the prayer as we continue to read. So let's continue, beloved. Now, it's going to be overlapping from last program, but we're going to go back to verse 6 and hopefully to verses 19. So that's Acts chapter 12, verses 6 to 19. And on the very night before the morning that he was to be delivered, that is Simon was to be delivered up, while Simon Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and others were guarding the doors of the prison, remember 16 chains, the angel of the Lord stood over him, over Simon, and a light shone in all the prison. And the angel touched him on the side and woke him and said to him, "Rise up quickly," and the chains fell off from his hands. The power of prayer. And the angel said to him, "Bind your girdle and put on your sandals." Be prepared, there's more work to be done, more service. And so he did. And again he said to him, "Put on your robe and follow me." And he went out and followed the angel, not knowing that what was done by the angel was true, but thought he saw a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate, and it opened to them of its own accord. So the gate opened. And when they had gone out and had passed one steel, the angel departed from him. So after they've gone out of the gates, the angel leaves him. And when Simon Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I surely know that the Lord has sent the angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod the king and from all that the Jews were conspiring against me." Remember when John's head was beheaded, when John was beheaded, the Jews liked that, the Jews that were not faithful, they were still Jews, not Christians, not faithful. They liked it. And then Herod saw that, oh, this pleased them. Then he captures Simon. There's another outcome of prayer, that the Jews will also belittled and ridiculed because of what the angel has done here. And when he understood, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So we're talking about John Mark, the evangelist. Because many brethren were gathered there praying. When he knocked at the door of the courtyard, a little girl named Rhoda came out to answer. And when she recognized Simon's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the door to him, but ran back and said, "Behold, Simon Peter stands at the gate of the courtyard." They said to her, "You are crazy." Here it says excited, but the word is crazy. She dented. But she argued that it was so. Then they said, "Perhaps it's his angel." But Simon Peter continued knocking at the door, and they went out and saw him and were astonished. But he motioned to them with his hand to keep quiet, like, shh. Then he entered and related to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell these things to James and to our brethren. And he went out and departed for another place. Now when it was morning, there was great tumult among the soldiers as to what had become of Simon Peter. When Herod had sought him and could not find him, he sentenced the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. That was his trade. And Simon Peter left Judea and stayed in Caesarea. So we see Simon being bound, being guarded in a prison, and Herod is ready to execute, basically. This is the night before that he was going to wake up and execute Simon Peter. Now, we don't know what in what way, but we, you know, we believe it would have been the same trend to behead Simon as well. So, not knowing, putting ourselves again in Simon's position, I wonder what he was going through. Totally resigned to the will of God, as we discussed in our other program, totally resigned to the will of God, and maybe praying and preparing himself to see his Lord. But God had other plans, beloved. There were prayers being offered to God that he would be relieved and released. And God so hears the prayers. And the prayers, we know, were according to God's perfect plan, perfect will, and perfect timing. Because at times we offer prayers and they are not answered as we wish. They are not answered the way we want. They are not answered at the time and the date and the manner we want. But God has that. And at times the answer, we've always mentioned this, it could be a no. That is an answer. But today we read that the answer to the prayers of the church, earnest prayers, was that yes, it befits my will. This is in my plan, and I will now show you that the effect of your prayers have pleased me, and I will show you my wonder. He sends an angel, and the angel wakes him up. He pierces him in his side and says, get up, up. You're going to leave. This is not an escape. This is not an escape. This is God's wonder for the release of Simon from prison. So he tells him to get up, take everything, gird yourself, prepare yourself. Now let me ask you a question. When there is a prison break, I think there was a film called Prison Break, right, Steve? Yeah, Prison Break, yeah. Do you see the inmates packing up everything? Oh, this is my grandmother's picture, or this is the picture of my dog, and, you know, making a little, packing up the suitcase and being ready and putting on their clothes and put on the tie. I'm going to leave now. No, it's an escape. You just run. You run for your life. But the angel doesn't tell him, run for your life. He says, no, stand up, prepare yourself. Again, this is not, you're not escaping. God is allowing you to be released. God is releasing you. We cannot escape from our problems, beloved. We shouldn't try to escape from our pain, suffering, misery at times, our sorrow, our persecution. We shouldn't, as Christians, because our lives are in the perfect hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we have committed them. We should await the day of the release from God, by God. Now, if the release is to blink your eye and see yourself in the presence of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven or in paradise, praise be to his name. If the release is from the pain and suffering, praise be to his name. This is not a release. This is not an escape. This is a release, beloved. And he leaves. The soldiers are still asleep. He brings him to the gate. And Simon is still thinking, this must be a vision. Yes, of course. Of course. Let's not be too hard on the apostles. You know, sometimes we point the finger. Oh, the doubting Thomas. I don't like that term. Strictly, personally speaking, I don't like the term the doubting Thomas. No, no, no. If Thomas hadn't doubted, if Thomas didn't question, you and I would not have that confirmation. You and I would not have this confirmation that the Lord is resurrected and he is Lord, he is God, because that's what Thomas proclaims, my Lord and my God. Let's not be too harsh on the apostles. 2024 years have gone. We still struggle accepting and believing the truth that Jesus is God. Praise be to his name. Jesus is resurrected. Science and the skeptics are still trying to find the bones of Jesus Christ. Keep searching, bro. Keep searching. Keep searching. Christ is resurrected. So let's not be too harsh on the disciples or the apostles. Yes, it was a great thing. And you know, maybe sometimes when we read of the angels, we think of those little children in the nude fondling themselves. I'm sorry to use the language. That's how they're being predicted. That's how they have been shown. But that's not an angel. An angel is a being, a spiritual being, with six huge wings. With two, they cover their faces. With two, they cover their bodies. And when with two, they blow wind. So this is a huge angel telling him to go. And the light, the whole prison was illuminated. And no one was waking up except Simon. So sometimes, beloved, yes, sometimes we don't understand. We think it's surreal. We question even, is this God? Are you telling me that this is God? Well, you know, I don't know. It's okay. You don't have to work it out. Don't try to work it out. Just as you do not try to escape from your pain and misery and wait for God's release, don't try to work it out yourself, because we get it wrong. If not 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10 times we get it wrong. Wait for God to reveal what his plan is, what his wonder is. When they had come to the gate that was taken out to the courtyard, then Simon realizes that this was an angel and the Lord sent the angel for me. And the angel had departed. So he comes to the house. Now, a little oral tradition, beloved, which is not wrong. Oral tradition is not a rude and dirty thing. No, no, no. Oral tradition is what the Holy Apostolic Universal Church has practiced its faith through, including the Holy Scriptures. In oral tradition, there is an understanding that both Mary, Mark, and Rhoda, Mary was the wife of Simon, Mark was his son, and Rhoda was his daughter. Now, yes, we test everything to the Holy Scriptures, even the oral tradition. We're going to test it now and see that these are not what exactly the Scriptures are saying, just as the Scriptures do not specifically say that, or in the Scriptures, Jesus does not specifically claim that I am God. Three words, not just I am, I know that. But I am God, but we know that through the Scriptures, Jesus is God. Praise and glory be to his name. Through the Scriptures, we see that this oral tradition is going a little hand in hand with the Scriptures. Marishudad, the church father, writes, after discipleship, the apostles were prevented from marriage, not were demanded or commanded to divorce. No, no, no. Marriage is sacred. Marriage is sacred. I won't go further. I'll contain myself. That they were prevented from marriage and from worldly care. That's what Marishudad writes. Yes, and amen. Let me read some scriptures. Matthew 19, 27. Look at what Simon asks Jesus. Behold, we have left everything and we have come after you. What then will happen to us? What does it mean by everything? Fishing? Yes. Boat? Yes. House? Possibly. Everything, including that relationship that we had with our immediate family as well. We have left everything. So when Marishudad writes that after they were called to discipleship and being apostles, they were prevented from marriage because they had to take care of the church, their bridegroom. This also goes hand in hand with what Jesus commands in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Whoever comes to me and does not set apart, not hate, set apart his father and his mother and his brother and his sister and his wife and his children and even himself, he cannot be my disciple, not friend or brother or child of God, disciple. Discipleship, apostleship requires total commitment, beloved. Hence today, the prelates of the church do not marry because they have been betrothed to the church. Look at what St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:5, and the fathers here too say, possibly Paul may have been married. There's nothing wrong with being married. Yes, I know, St. Paul says, I wish that everyone would be like me. Maybe he's talking about this. Let's have a read. And why is it illegal for us to travel with a wife as other apostles and as the brothers of our Lord and as Simon? Possibly St. Paul was also married, but he gave up all of that and followed Jesus Christ. Now, whether they were or they weren't doesn't change the wonder of God. But hey, why don't we learn it as it was? Why don't we at least have a knowledge of what it was, the truth, and not just something plucked out of the air or what I think, how I believe, what I feel. I'm not concerned about what you feel. You shouldn't be concerned about what I feel, what I believe, how I see it. No, no. We see it through the scriptures and the frame of the church. So let's go back to Simon. Simon returns home. Why? Well, he returned home to tell of God's wonder for him. Just as Jesus commanded that young man who was demon-possessed, he wanted to follow Jesus Christ. He said, no, go and tell your family, your friends, go and tell everyone what the Lord has done to you. Go and tell those who are in the faith. Go and encourage those who are in the faith. That's why he gestures with his hand. Shh, don't say anything. I have something to tell you. We're going to talk about that. Jesus commands in Luke 12:3, everything that you will say in darkness shall be heard in the light. And whatever you whispered in the ear, in an inner chamber, in a room, will be preached on the rooftops. One of the most fruitful and beneficial thing we can do when God works wonders in our lives for his glory in any way, shape, or form is to tell it to others within the faith in humility. In humility. Verse 14, Simon returns and his voice is only heard. And Rhoda, accepting that she may have been his daughter, was so excited, beloved, to the effect that she doesn't even open the door. It's like when someone important is coming or someone that you haven't seen for so long and after 15, 20, 30 years, you know, the story of the Assyrian people's lives being distant and taken away from parents, from brothers after 30s. You know, sometimes you see these videos on social media, waiting for my sister, haven't seen her for 30 years, right? So they start attending or they appear and then you see them through the window and then they're at the door and you're saying, oh my God, she's here. And then your mum will say or your friend will open the door. Go and open the door. It's so joyous. You see, God's work, the answer to prayers is so joyous, beloved. You know, when God answers our prayers, at times, how we've asked, and at times, according to his perfect will, timing, and manner, we must be ecstatic. We must be overjoyed. When God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want, and when God's answer is a no, that must bring joy to our hearts. Why? Because God has actually acknowledged me. God has actually heard me for him to say, for example, no, or not like this, or not right now. And she went to bear good news. She also went, and this would be to prepare these people, beloved. You know, isn't it amazing that the bearers of good news in the scriptures in this instance and another instance are female, right? Are female. God loves male and female, beloved, right? Mary Magdalene, John 20, who told of the resurrection, and Rhoda here tells of it's Simon. It's him. It's him. Now, you may say, well, why didn't she say it's dad? Well, because the apostleship that Simon was brought, called to, and assigned to, the whole family was affected, beloved. The whole family had to adhere to that calling. Verses 15 and 16, we read that when she tells them, it's Simon's voice, I know. You know, that's my dad's voice. I know my dad's voice, right? It's Simon's voice. They thought she was crazy. They said that you're crazy. Well, in this world, that's how people who love the Lord God and his son Jesus the Christ and submit to his Holy Spirit are perceived as crazy. But that's okay. We will be crazy for God. We will receive any title, any ridicule, any misnomers for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Simon told us, beloved. Listen to this. For us to be littled, to go down, to be humbled, for Christ to be exalted. If I'm going to be called crazy, stupid, non-realistic, and my Lord is going to be glorified, praise be to his name, I'll take it any day, beloved. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 14, St. Paul writes, for if we have lost our mind, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you, for the love of Christ controls us. Whatever we go through, whatever we receive for God. So they called her crazy. She didn't come back and, you know, started arguing. No, 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 don't call me crazy. No, no, she said, I know it's Simon's voice, because there was going to be an amazing news that Simon was going to give. And, you know, the scriptures tell us that he told them about what happened. St. John Chrysostom writes, even if people think we are mad, everything is for the glory of God. Amen. Everything for the glory. Do everything for the glory of God. Even persecution. Because remember, 1 Corinthians 1:27, it is the weak, it is the foolish. And I'll keep going. It is the crazy. It is those who are seen to be out of their minds that God uses to ridicule those who think they are something, but they are not. So he told them about his angel. See, that angel was sent for Simon. And who is that angel, beloved? Yes, guardian angel. We all have guardian angels, yes. There is a guardian angel, and people can give a lot of testimonies about how they've experienced something like seeing someone and then turning around and that person was not there. Well, that could be your angel. St. Paul says, you know, some have entertained angels without them knowing. This would have been Simon's guardian angel. He gestures in silence, but look at what he says. No vainglory. He didn't go telling the way. He didn't go knock on the door. Hey, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Many people have experiences. They claim they have had visions and they want to tell the world and they want to, you know, sometimes it's in pride as well. We got to be careful. Satan can use that. You know, the way you measure a person's experience with Christ, the way you can measure whether that vision, that experience is true, is when you see a life change in that person. When the person's life has changed and the person is witnessing to you and telling you that that person has an experience with Jesus Christ and the life has changed and you can experience it and you can witness it, you can see it, then that is genuine, because you cannot see Jesus Christ and continue to live a life of debauchery, immorality. You cannot praise God and say, God bless, when you have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's only lip service, beloved. And he wasn't after vainglory. He says, go and tell James and the brothers, because they need to be also encourage. We can encourage each other too. Let's encourage one another. You know, sometimes testimonies, there has been some powerful testimonies. I have to mention my brother Shamasha Shane, Deacon Shane in Australia. He has an amazing testimony of what he went through before he came to the Lord. And he presented the testimony in 2006, I think. 2006 youth conference, I think it was, in Chicago. No, 2008 maybe. 2010, yeah. And he brought people to tears and he received a standing ovation for the glory of God. Yes, some people have amazing testimonies. Don't hold those testimonies. Don't hold them. It's not for you. It's for the glory of God. And he wanted to tell everyone. Verse 19, we read of the poor soldiers. Yeah, there's a question there. Why would God do this? Like, it's always, why would God? You know, people don't believe in God because why would God do this? Why would God? Well, no. You got to look into it a little. You got to study it a little bit. Do you think that they were executed because of Simon? Was it Simon's fault? No, it wasn't. No. Why did Herod execute the soldiers? Well, like grandfather, like grandson. It was possibly because he felt that he was mocked. Remember his grandfather? He felt that he was mocked by the wise men in Matthew 2:16 when he asked to find a king so that he would go and also worship him. No. That was a lie. He wanted to get to the king because he felt threatened. What? Another king? He wanted to destroy. He wanted to execute. He wanted to kill Jesus. Totally opposite to Christ when he was being mocked. Totally opposite to Christ's reaction, Matthew 27:31. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and clothed him in the garments and led him to be crucified. They mocked him. And what came out of Jesus' mouth? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. These were his words hanging on the cross, beloved. So back to Herod. It was because of this would-be hero, we can call, because he felt mocked. And that's why he then executed the soldiers. He searched, the scriptures say that he searched, he asked, he examined what happened. They saw the chains, he saw the chains. Now, if they had undone the chains, beloved, why would they do that? Because they knew they were going to be persecuted and executed. They saw that the chains had been gone, his sandals were gone, his garment was gone as well. Why would the soldiers have concealed all of this? Why would they not try to defend themselves by lying? They didn't. They didn't say anything. So it was because of his wickedness. It wasn't because God sent an angel to release Simon from evil and they also received the evil. No, it was because of Herod's wickedness. So before we ask, where is God? Why God? No. We must ask, why people, why men are so distant from God to the point that they will commit any evil, any wickedness, without even thinking twice, to the point of killing people. So this became clear, beloved, that these men died because of the wickedness of Herod. At the same time, we saw the wonder of God. See, in one scenario, through one circumstance in life, God can work many different scenarios. God will bring many different wonders, beloved. Only if we, like Simon, rest. Remember, he was not in the hospital. He was in the prison. He slept. He knew that he's probably going to be persecuted. This is what he was thinking. But he didn't fret. I'm persecuted. Great. I'll be with the Lord. Jesus told me beforehand, this is what's going to happen to me. If God then releases me, praise and glory be to his name. So let's be that Simon, beloved, in any circumstance in life, any circumstance. Remember, our lives are in the hand of God if we have submitted them. Some people take them away from God. Yes, they do what they want to do. That's fine. That's free will. That's the love of God again. But when we have submitted to God, rest assured and wait. God will work many wonders through what you are going for his glory and for the salvation of souls. Praise and glory be to his name now and at all times and forever. Amen. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.